You're listening to the STC Foundations podcast. This year, as part of our GROW project, we're focusing on the four Gospels, an opportunity Monday to Friday to worship and pray as we reflect on a thought from the Bible.
It's Thursday. I hope you've had a good week so far and that you're enjoying our journey through John's Gospel. Today our Bible passage is John 9 verses 24 to 40. It is a continuation of the story about the blind man who was miraculously healed by Jesus. The healing of those who are blind is an important theme throughout the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament. In the book of Isaiah alone there are 8 references to the blind being able to see, and there are similar verses in Exodus, Ezekiel and Psalms. At the start of his ministry, Jesus stood up in the temple and read from Isaiah 61, declaring, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and recovery of sight for the blind." In the Gospels there are 5 occasions where Jesus miraculously restores sight, but many times we read that people brought the blind to him to be healed, so we can assume the actual number was much higher. However, the restoration of sight is given such prominence in Scripture not just to show compassion for those who are blind, but because the physical healing of those who cannot see is used as an illustration for what it means to be spiritually blind and to have our eyes opened to the truth. Jesus unpacks this concept of spiritual blindness in John 9 verse 39, where he says, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." The New Testament writers use similar language and imagery. One of the most well-known is 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, which says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I don't know if you've ever done any team-building exercises where you're blindfolded. Failing that, try and remember what it feels like to play pin the tail on the donkey. It's disorientating. It can make us anxious. You get that feeling of not knowing what's happening, not knowing how you're going to do something, and not feeling in control. It's similar when we go to new places or try to learn a new skill. In these situations, we often say, it's like the blind leading the blind. However, as Christians, God calls us to follow him to places where we've never been before. And as we surrender to Jesus, we give up our control and say that we submit to him leading us. That's what it means to live by faith and not by sight. We walk in the ways of Jesus, rather than relying on our own vision or perception of how we should live and act. This year as a whole church, we're all committing to the GROW project. We're actively saying that we want to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus. We want God to take us to places we've never been before, to experience new things of the Spirit. In church we sing, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander." The question here is, do we actually do what we're talking and singing about? Have we really moved from a place of spiritual blindness to one where we walk by faith? Or are we making a great pretense of seeing, when in fact we're putting the spiritual blinkers back on and living out our Christian faith with shades on? The Pharisees could see the miracle with their own eyes in the clear light of day. The distinction was obvious. The man had been blind, now he could see. And yet still they questioned. They questioned the man twice, they even questioned his parents about whether he was blind in the first place. They asked, "What did he do to you? How were your eyes opened? Where is Jesus now? What do you say about him?" Their constant questioning, their need to know all the answers, meant that their eyes were blinkered to the truth right in front of them. They just could not or would not see it. Are we the same? Do we sing, "Spirit, lead me," but then add, "But can I just check a few things first? Where exactly are you calling me, God? Could I just clarify the when and the how of this? And are you going to sort out the finances for this journey too? And if I say, take me deeper, how deep were you thinking? And actually, I think there might be something better coming along, so could I make this decision later?" That is making a pretense of seeing and living out our Christian life with shades on. Or perhaps we have a tendency towards the other response of the Pharisees, walking by our knowledge, experience, and position, not by faith. The Pharisees didn't need to be followers of Jesus because they already knew the laws of Moses. They didn't need to learn from this man's testimony of healing because just moments before he'd been a disabled beggar. When we look at the Grow Project material, does the Father of Lies lead us to a place where we think we've done all this before? We know what that Alpha video is all about. We became a Christian years ago. There isn't anything new we can learn from this. And anyway, who is John Mark Comer? I've never heard of him before. This is making a pretense of seeing and putting the spiritual blinkers back on. The devil uses pretense and lies to encourage us to keep our shades on, to remain blinkered, and not to see things fully and clearly. He wants to keep us stumbling around like the blind in a place of spiritual darkness. But Jesus came into the world so that all people could see the truth for themselves. Today, whatever you're doing, whatever you have planned, ask the Holy Spirit to bring everything into the light and to make the distinctions clear. Let's choose to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, the light of the world. Let's walk by faith and not by sight today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to go deeper in our relationship with you. Show us those areas of our lives that are blinkered to your truth, or where our eyes are shaded from seeing where you want us to follow you. Amen.
John chapter 9, verses 24 to 41. They called the man back a second time, the man who had been blind, and told him, "Give credit to God. We know this man is an impostor." He replied, "I know nothing about that one way or the other, but I know one thing for sure. I was blind, I now see." They said, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" "I've told you over and over and you haven't listened. Why do you want to hear it again? Are you so eager to become his disciples?" With that they jumped all over him. "You might be a disciple of that man, but we're disciples of Moses. We know for sure that God spoke to Moses, but we have no idea where this man even comes from." The man replied, "This is amazing. You claim to know nothing about him, but the fact is, he opened my eyes. It's well known that God isn't at the beck and call of sinners, but listens carefully to anyone who lives in reverence and does his will. That someone opened the eyes of a man born blind has never been heard of, ever. If this man didn't come from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything." They said, "You're nothing but dirt. How dare you take that tone with us?" Then they threw him out in the street. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out and went and found him. He asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man said, "Point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him." Jesus said, "You're looking right at him. Don't you recognize my voice?" "Master, I believe," the man said, and worshipped him. Jesus then said, "I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind." Some Pharisees overheard him and said, "Does that mean you're calling us blind?" Jesus said, "If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure."
We enter your gates with thanksgiving, and with thanksgiving we enter your gates. We pour out your praise in your presence, and in your presence we pour out your praise.
Glory to your everlasting name.
Shining all